The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. Author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, servants and saints of the Most High God. I'm glad to be with you today as we continue studying God's Word. And God's Word is fascinating, and it does not return void, but it will accomplish that which it was intended. So if He said it, then it's going to happen, and you need to believe that, especially in the prophetic sense. You know, people try to make all kinds of excuses of why, well, that didn't apply today, or that isn't going to happen like that, you know. But you know, understand that, yeah, there are some things that are symbolism. There are some things that are shadows and types, but somehow or another, it will be fulfilled, and we got to understand those things when we study God's Word, and that's why the Scripture says, if you lack wisdom, ask. If you don't understand what God is saying in His Word, have you asked Him? Have you asked and said, Lord, I don't understand this. Would you show me the answers to this? And He will do that. I do that all the time. And He gives me, if not right then and there, it might even take you a few days or a few weeks or whatever, or even a few months. And all of a sudden, one day, boom, there's the answer. And God does it on His own time when He wants to. So it's good to know those kind of things. As I try to mention every week, you know, our congregation will soon be out of a building because we're leasing right now, and the people that are leasing it want us out because they think they could get more money by taking all four of our suites and making them into individual business suites. And this is what happens when you get a new owner. They think things different than what you had, even though we've been here for 15 years and been faithful to the owners for 15 years. Suddenly we got new owners, and now they want us out. So I'm just throwing it out there now that if you got a church or something, because you know, we meet on Saturdays, and you are willing to take us on and let us come in and have us pay our fair share of expenses, then give me a call. Give me a call at Arrowhead Messianic Congregation, and maybe we can work out a deal. Like I said, we're on the west side. We're on the west side of the valley, and maybe we can work out something, help you and you help us. Give us a call if you think that possibility exists. We've been talking last couple of weeks about what happens after you die. To you after you die, your body, your spirit, what takes place. So we've been talking about that, and there's a reason why I took on this subject, and it's a lot more detailed than what people think. You know, most people just say, well, you got heaven and hell, you know, that's all there is to it. And as a matter of fact, I had one individual tell me one day, he says, you're going to teach this class in college? I go, yeah. Says, how can you get enough information to speak of it in college? I said, I will. And so they were just, you know, they just thinking very simplistically, you got heaven, you got hell. What is there to talk about? Well, there is a lot to talk about it. And so that's what I've been doing. That's why I've taken on this subject and also teaching it in a college class. And so there's a lot more to it than what most people realize. And so I'm hoping you are learning from this, and today I hope is no exception. You'll learn from it too. Now, why did I decide to do this? Why did I decide to teach on this subject? Because I keep hearing people talk about different things, you know, when somebody dies, this happened, that happened, or some, you know, fable or myth type of concept taking place. And I thought, this is silly. Why don't people just look at the scriptures and let's figure out what the scriptures say about these things, and let's get ourselves rooted in truth instead of all these fables and thoughts and concepts that men develop in their own minds of what takes place when you die. So that's what I've been talking about. You know, for instance, I had my firstborn son died at 4 months of a sickness. And I had many people tell me, says, well, God needed another angel. You know, that's a terrible thing to tell the parents, that God needed another angel, so he's going to take your son away. That's a terrible thing to say. He did not need another angel. He's got myriads of angels. And a child does not become an angel, you know. So a four-month-old child does not suddenly become an angel like that. So there's just so much ignorance about these things. And if people mean well, and they're just trying to comfort you, and they say the dumbest things. So the more we understand how all this stuff works, and the better we can actually counsel and talk to people. Whether you're a counselor or you're just a believer or you're just sharing the word, it's important to know how all this takes place. You know, I've heard people tell me that, well, once you die, your spirit roams the earth all the time, you know, and that's not true either. The scripture tells us, you know, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord if you're a believer. And then when I was in college, I wrote a thesis on life after death. So, you know, I do have some background on this. And people dying, going to heaven and coming back, there's some very common things, steps that take place on everybody that happens. For instance, when they first die, their spirit kicks off the body. You know, like, I don't need you anymore. You know, once a body dies, then the spirit is almost like it just pulls itself out of the body, hovers over for a while, moment, and looks down and sees what's going on. And we know this is for a fact because people who have died and gone to heaven and come back talk about it. That's a very common thing, how they left their body and looked back and saw and looked at their body. And sometimes it was in a hospital or something like that. They saw doctors and nurses working on them, trying to bring them back. And they could look, and they could actually describe everything that took place, and then they start flying through space, I guess you would say, and they would see a light, and they go toward the light, you know, and the light, of course, is the Lord Himself, and then when they get toward that bright light, there is actually a point, what we call crossing over, that if they cross over, then they cannot return. And a lot of them know that. They see the crossing over point, and they stop and they hesitate. And of course, if your body is destroyed, there is no hesitation. You're going to cross over one way or another. You're going to cross over. And so, but many people reported that they knew that once they cross this bridge or they cross this point, there is no going back. When they had an option to go back, and so there's a point of no return. If you're given that point, if your body is in bad shape, your body is no longer functioning, there is no choice there. And so once the spirit sheds the body because it is of no use anymore, then the spirit comes out. You look at the light. Sometimes some people refer to it as a tunnel, going through a tunnel toward a light. And if you reach the light, then they realize it's God, or, you know, they're going to see the Messiah, Yeshua. So all these things do take place. This is testimony after testimony after testimony of people who have died and come back alive again. Of course, we're talking about believers here, but there's also testimonies of people who were not believers and were scared to death of the things that they had to face, or the things they saw. And then when they got back, they were suddenly believers. And so they were the lucky ones who actually got another chance later on. So these are things that I want to talk to the students about in college also. So they say the right things and don't say dumb things, you know. the spirits don't roam the earth after death. The evil spirits do. They always seeking, you know, roaming around because, you know, they're not dead. The evil spirits, which are the spirits of the Nephilim, the spirits of the giants, that roamed the earth at one time when the bad angels came down and had relationships with the daughters of men. You can read that in Genesis. You can read it in Enoch. You can read it in Jubilees. There's a lot of stories about it. Now, those evil spirits, even Yeshua talked to, Jesus talked about these too, that they're trying to fulfill some kind of lust that they got. So they're roaming around the earth all the time looking to inhabit somebody to try to fulfill the lust that these spirits are feeling. And so that's why they possess people to try to fill the lust that they have in their heart about whatever it is it might be. And so, and they roam around what they call dry places. That's what Yeshua says. They roam around in dry places. But these are not spirits of men. These are spirits of the half angel, half men that Genesis talks about and Enoch talks about, the Nephilim, that when they died, then their evil spirits remained. And they'll stay here on the earth until the day the Lord decides to judge them all and destroy them if he's going to destroy them. So this is very interesting that a lot of times what people think is spirits of men really are just probably spirits of the Nephilim, the evil spirits that roam the earth. And very much all the evil spirits want to deceive mankind, so it's very possible that they make it sound like they're somebody that you're acquainted with, but they're really just bad spirits trying to direct you away from the truth of what's taking place. I've been talking about the different kinds of raptures. A rapture is a resurrection, so you got to understand that. When I say rapture, it's also a resurrection. There's more than one resurrection. There's more than one rapture. So, say what, Rabbi? And so this is one thing that I have to really talk to people about, you know, when they turn around and say, what do you mean there's more than one rapture? We're all waiting on one rapture. No, well, think about it like this. The one rapture has already taken place. And you go, what? He says, yeah, reading your scriptures in Matthew, toward the end of Matthew, where Yeshua rose from the dead. Then it says many others rose from the dead and roamed around too and unto the and showed themselves to the people in the city and in Jerusalem, showed themselves. These were the people that were down what we call the bosom of Abraham. This is the good part of hell. And Yeshua had the keys of heaven and hell. So when he died, he actually went down there too. He went down to hell also. But there's a good part of hell and there's a bad part of hell back then and before Yeshua. So Yeshua went down there with the keys, released the captives that are there, set the captives free. That's what he did. He released them and took them to paradise, which is the third heaven at that time. That's why he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so Yeshua went down to hell because this was a holding place for those that were considered righteous. You got to remember that faith alone would make you righteous back then. Abraham was righteous because of his faith. And so there were a lot of people that were saved. There was a lot of people like Yeshua said, Abraham saw my day. And he looked forward to my day and he saw it. How did Yeshua see the day of Abraham, you know, when they're so hundreds of years apart from one another? So how did he see that? So this is all the concept that, you know, whether the Lord showed Abraham what Yeshua was going to do, or Yeshua when he was still before he became a man, when he was a son of man, you know, revealed himself to Abraham back then. Who knows how he saw it, but he did say Abraham saw his day and knew what was going to happen. So Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness. Well, that would be the same with many others that had faith in the Lord also. And so there were many in the good part of hell that were waiting for Yeshua to come down. And that's what the scriptures said. He came down to hell and he set the captives free and revealed himself and preached the gospel to the people. So he came down, preach the gospel and says, here I am, I'm here, because even they needed the Messiah. So, you know, don't get this wrong. Everybody needed the Messiah, even those that were waiting on him in the good part of hell. They needed the Messiah. So he came down and showed themselves the Messiah in what we call the bosom of Abraham. You can read this in Luke chapter 16. And the bosom, and Josephus talks about it a lot, the Jewish historian, about the bosom of Abraham. And so Yeshua presented himself to them, and then he set the captives free, and you know, because he had the keys of heaven and hell. And so he let them out, and then they immediately were sent to the third heaven, which is paradise. And there they went to paradise. There was nobody in paradise prior to that. So they all went up to paradise. And so that's why the thief on the cross went to paradise also at that time, went up there. So that was the first rapture we experienced here, called the barley first fruits. You read this in Leviticus 23, verses 10 through 13. This is the, there's two first fruits, the barley and the wheat. And God quite often does things by agricultural concepts. You know, when you talk about trees or plants or seeds or whatever, he's talking about people, and it's important to understand that. So the barley first fruits rapture has already occurred. That was the first one. And so we are now waiting for the wheat first fruits rapture, which you can also read in Leviticus 23. That's the next one that's going to take place. And then later on, we'll have the great white throne rapture, where everybody that ever lived will be raptured. You can read about this in Revelation 20, verses 5 through 15. And so everybody that ever lived will be resurrected at that time. And if you're not found written in the book of life, then you'll be thrown into the lake of fire, which is known as the second death. But it also tells us in Revelation 25 through 6 verses that those in that first resurrection, the second death will have no power over. So in other words, if you are involved in the barley or the wheat first fruits, or even some of the smaller ones in between there, you know, the lake of fire is not your destination. It will have no power over you at all. So that's good news. That's really good news to understand those concepts. So we see all these things that's in the scriptures, you know. I mean, I've had a lot of people say, oh, there's only one rapture. Why do you keep talking about that? Well, what if you go on from the time of Paul and onward, then the barley rapture already took place. So he had no reason to be talking about the barley one anymore. So the wheat first fruits is the next one. The wheat first fruits is the one that we're looking for now. And, you know, as I explained before, what is first fruits? First fruits is a small amount of a larger harvest. And the concept was the farmer would plant his crops in the field, and he would designate a small portion of that as first fruits. And scripture says that he was to bring the first fruits to the priest at the altar before he could partake of any of his other crops that he had planted. So when it come harvest time, he would take the first fruits and bring it to the altar and present it to the priest, and the priest will wave it before God and to be accepted. Of course, we know the priest is Yeshua, Jesus. He is our high priest, and anyone that the high priest waves before the Father will be accepted. So the farmer would bring his first fruits. It would be presented to the priest. He would present it before the Father, and then that would be accepted at that point by God himself. So first fruits is very important. And also, you know, the same Hebrew word for first fruit is the same word for firstborn. So they're all tied together here. So the barley one already happened, and now the wheat one is the next one that most of us are all looking forward to. If you're a believer today, you're looking forward to the wheat first fruits rapture. But then there'll be the great white throne rapture that I just talked about, where everybody that ever lived will now be resurrected and stand before the great white throne. And then your book of works will be opened up by then, and you'll be judged by your book of works. This is what I like about the barley and wheat first fruits, because that is a different type of judgment. That is a judgment because of your faith And so that you don't want to be judged by the great white throne judgment by your works, because I don't know about you, but I would probably fail that miserably if I was judged by my works. And so that's important that we do that. But, you know, there are other scriptures that talk about these things. You know, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. This is what it says here, beginning of verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. So in other words, because of the grace of God, we have a foundation in God. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So your foundation is about Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, then you have the foundation you need to build on. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it says every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So if you have Jesus Christ as your foundation, that he's the one that you believed in and you trust in, and you got that foundation. Now, what are you building upon that foundation? Now, some people build upon that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Others build upon it with wood, hay, and stubble, or a combination thereof. So, in other words, wood, hay, and stubble burn easy, but gold, silver, and precious stones do not. So, Yeshua himself will be the judge here, and then he, by fire, he will judge our works. And so this is what I'm talking about, is our works. So that which is made out of gold, silver, and precious stones will remain, but that which is made out of wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up completely. And so so we have to understand that all our works is going to be judged. All our works is going to be tried. And then you say, well, if you're saved, why does he do that? Because there are things, you know, when you sin before God, or you did righteous works before God, you don't know the consequences that happen from the things that you did. You know, maybe you did something very nice to somebody who in turn did nice to somebody else, and maybe they got saved because of that. So you don't know all the consequences. So the same with sin. You never know when you sinned what else follows afterwards because of your act of sin. All these things will be recorded. All these things will be made known at this time. And so with Yeshua, because he said your sins will be removed as far as east is from west, then we have to understand that all of it will be revealed. All of it will be revealed, and we have to understand that everything we ever said or did. You know, well, Rabbi, I thought, you know, our sins are going to be removed as far as east is from west. Well, it is. This is when it happens. Right here. This is when that happens, right here, when this takes place. But the Lord wants you to know all the consequences and everything that you've done. Because if you did something really good to somebody, and they in turn did something that made a difference in the world, all that, you get some credit for that. See, but if you did something evil likewise, and you know, so you could get some discredit for that. And so all these things will be revealed, but what unto your rewards and your position in the kingdom, not for heaven or hell concepts, but for rewards. This is what this is about. That's why it says in verse 14, if any man works abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So all our works are going to be revealed. Well, boy, I don't want to see that, you may be thinking. Well, everybody's in the same boat. They're all going to be going through the same thing if they stand before the Messiah himself, who is our judge. And so understand, these things are important. Important to understand. So anyway, we're done for this week. We'll pick this up again next week. We'll talk about it some more. So blessings to everybody, and God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.